days. We're going to move on very quickly because our second guest of the show is ready and waiting to join us. I'm delighted to say that we're welcoming this guy back to World Football Daily for 2014. The Bundesliga is upon us. And after its very, very long break, it gets almost a month off. Those lazy guys. It is returning to us with some cracking fixtures this week in Hamburg against Schalke. Bayern Munich taking on Borussia Mönchengladbach tonight, and there's only one person we'd want to have on the show to talk about the return of the Bundesliga. That's right, joining us here on World Football Daily for the first time in 2014, Mr. Kit Holden. Kit, a pleasure to have you back on World Football Daily. A very happy new year to you. Hope it was a very nice break that you've been having, especially while we'll have been still working covering the European leagues. I hope it's been a good break. How are you?
Yeah, I did. It's been lovely, actually, and kind of ironically, the winter break is find itself appallingly here, because just as the football's coming back, it started to snow in Berlin and is absolutely freezing, having been mild all over Christmas. So winter break is apparently pointless, but there we go.
It can't be a bad place to be though when the snow's falling. It must be quite picturesque where you are at the moment then.
Yeah, it's great. It's walking around feeling like you're in the Cold War is never gets old.
You're gonna have the heat of the crowds back once again inside the Bundesliga stadiums for the second half of the season, and that's sure to warm up any German football fan, that's for sure, especially when we kick off the Bundesliga again with a clash like we have tonight with Borussia Mönchengladbach taking on Bayern Munich. Coming out of a break with Gladbach going into the winter break in such a great run of form, a record-breaking run of form for them, do you see them taking that confidence in and testing Bayern this evening?
Well, I think they'll test them. I mean, I think, they are. I think Favre's Gladbach are possibly one of the more underrated teams of the Bundesliga, and they're the tactically perhaps the most organised and structured and hard to break down machine that the Bundesliga have got, which is not to say they don't play attractive football either. I mean, they can be very exciting on the counter and their sort of turnarounds and all the rest of it. But yeah, they're a very, very organised unit, and I don't think anyone could ever expect them to just roll over in the face of anyone, even Bayern. Max Kruger did an interview in Kicker last week saying, there's no way they expect to win, but they are really psyched up for the opportunity to be the first team to beat Bayern, obviously, in over 40 games now. So, yeah, they'll be going for it, and they'll take that successful first half of the season into the first game. And you can't expect anything from a game against Bayern. But I think Gladbach are certainly among the teams who can at least get a draw and possibly even pull off a surprise.
Arjen Robben's still nursing an injury, and Schweinsteiger said not to be fit as well. Will either of these two make a recovery in time, do you think, for tonight, or are they both categorically out now for Pep?
I think they're probably going to be left out. Schweinsteiger particularly. There's also a bit of a worry about Ribery coming through otherwise today, that there might be he might be not be able to play either. So but I mean, with Bayern, you always have to bear in mind that the depth of this squad is so large that and there's so much quality right down to the bottom of it that it's even when players like that are not there, they're still a formidable force. So it'll be a relatively full strength Bayern side whoever's missing. But I'd be surprised to see Schweinsteiger certainly in that lineup, and they say Ribery is a bit of a doubt as well at the moment. So
Gladbach will have the return of Alvaro Dominguez after his shoulder injury back in October. Is that a really important return for this Gladbach side, especially going into this game? Is he going to be out of match practice, though, as well, obviously being out for so long?
Yeah, but I mean, I think, the first game of the winter break is probably a good time to come back if you're lacking practice, because not everyone will have it under their belts. He's very useful. I mean, particularly as Gladbach have a very key player out this weekend, it'll be Janschke. So they'll be very happy to have Dominguez back. The trouble with this playing plan is that, however many players you have out or they have out, the quality is always going to be a lot lower. But as I say, certainly structurally and tactically, Gladbach are capable. So
It should be a cracking evening's entertainment. Frank Ribery's been providing entertainment throughout the winter break, of course, with the Ballon d'Or award, and has been very outspoken now about his frustration at the lack of Bayern players in that FIFA World 11, and he felt that he should have won the award. Is that a general consensus in German football? Does German football as a whole feel a little hard done by FIFA this year?
Not in terms of the Ballon d'Or itself. I mean, most of the talk in Germany, outside of the sort of sensationalist and Bayern camps, was that Ribéry wouldn't deserve to win it anyway, and they all thought Ronaldo was the deserving winner. Generally, I mean, that's within the media. Obviously, there were fans and Bayern. Obviously, they had a huge campaign to prove that Ribéry was the only man who deserved it, and there was a case for it. I don't think, you know, I think the way he lost, as it were, didn't merit, you know, the season he had and the year he's had and all the wonderful things he's won with Bayern. But I think, I mean, for Ribéry, for someone like Ribéry, I think, you know, that kind of award was always very special to him, and that's why he sort of got a bit upset that it sort of failed so surprisingly, that vote. I think the thing that Germany is more worth about is that World 11, because I can't remember, it was three German players or three Bundesliga players in that lineup. Mm. And when you look at what Bayern did last year, when you look at the Champions League final, those two teams at the top, and you compare that to on the international stage at least, what are some of those players? I mean, some of them, Xavi and Messi and those kind of players, they're going to get there anyway. But, you know, you see some of the other names in there and you think, well, how did Alaba not get there? Or, you know, how did X player not get in? And I think that did annoy them. But generally, it's not particularly... Germany doesn't put too much worth on the Ballon d'Or. Obviously, in France, it's a lot bigger. And in England, it's a lot bigger. But Germany doesn't. They kind of avoid it. They don't. They don't really see the appeal, and they do think it's a bit of a waste of time. So, as a general rule, so yeah, there's a bit of disgruntlement about that World 11. But as far as Ribéry and anything serious goes, you know, it's gone now. It's no longer a talking point.
Now, the last time we mentioned unbeaten runs on World Football Daily, we were talking about PSG, and as soon as we brought it up, PSG went and lost their first game of the season. So I do this a little tentatively. But Bayern have been talking, it's been discussed in the press about how some of the players feel they can go unbeaten this year. It's a bold prediction to make. It's easy to say they can, whether they will or not. But do you think if there is going to be a team going unbeaten this unbeaten in the Bundesliga, it's going to be Bayern this season?
Well, I mean, I think obviously they're in a better place than any team, whether it's a Bayern team or any other, to be the first ones to do it. Than anyone before them. I mean, you know, and I always think when people say, oh, is this going to be the biggest chance they're going to have, or this is, you know, people say about Arsenal, this is their best chance and they can't waste this chance to win the title. And you think, well, you don't know what's going to happen 2 or 3 years down the line. I think Bayern's transformation in the last few years has proved that. But certainly up till now, this is the biggest chance anyone's had to do that. But at the same time, there is a lot of concern after that friendly defeat to Salzburg, particularly. There's been a lot of players coming out. Müller's come out, Lahm's come out today in the Frankfurt Allgemeine, sort of warning against getting too ahead of themselves and making sure that drive to win every single game, regardless, is still there. So I think Bayern are aware that they could sort of slip into complacency. It was around this time last year that they had a bit of a lapse into kind of a complacent mode and nearly fell out of the Champions League as a result. So they're very wary about that. Whether they can avoid it is, again, we'll see. But yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, quality wise, this is the best Bundesliga side there has ever been, I think. And yeah, they have as good a chance, if not a better chance, than anyone of getting that record.
Could be improved, obviously, with Lewandowski coming in next season as well. That could be the best Bundesliga side we ever see. And Lewandowski now at Dortmund is taking a lot of flack in a similar way that Götze did in the latter stages of last season from the home fans about signing for Bayern Munich. What does that do for Dortmund going into the end of this season? Because Lewandowski had to be given a load of extra money almost as a thank you and can you at least see out the contract with us type deal. Does it affect his mentality if the fans then turn their back on him now?
Oh, very much so. And the big story today is that, you know, he's being investigated for charges of assault because a Dortmund fan who was making obscene gestures at him, allegedly he got out of his car and hit the guy in the face. And that's caused a massive stir this week. And so, you know, whether it's true or whether, you know, whose version of events is true is completely impossible to tell. But the very fact that there's that friction there, I mean, it is less. Certainly, it's less universal than with Götze because Götze was a Dortmund player who came up through the Dortmund ranks, and you know, I think there was a greater sense of betrayal there. Whereas this transfer has been dragging on, this Lewandowski one, for so long, and it's been so obvious. But they, you know, they it is a it's an interesting thing for a player like that. I mean, I always thought Lewandowski was, completely had 2 feet on the ground and would get on with it. And I think he still will, and he'll put his best in for Dortmund. But things like this story today, you just think, well, all that pressure on him might, you don't know how that's going to affect his mentality or his performance. And, it would be a shame. It would be a very big shame, not just for Dortmund, but for the league and for spectators if he was to sort of disappear into the sidelines until the summer. And I think, it is a minority of Dortmund fans who are really laying into him and like the Götze scenario, but the pressure is certainly there, yeah.
It's something they need to replace now going forward for next season. Is there anybody kind of crawling out of the woodwork, so to speak, in terms of names who could come in and replace Lewandowski yet? Or are Dortmund just focusing on this season and getting their Bundesliga season back on track because it's gone a little haywire with the injuries they've had in the back?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, most of the transfer talk in Dortmund is about more players leaving, and there's rumours of Gundogan to Madrid and Royce to United and things like that. And obviously the injuries are massive worries. I mean, players like Hummels and Zubotic and Gundogan being out for a long, long time is even now when Hummels and Gundogan should be back, in the next few months, but that's still a good amount of games where they won't be anywhere near full strength, Dortmund, particularly at the back. And it will worry them because, it's not just catching up with the teams ahead of them. It's also there's Wolfsburg coming up from behind them, and the pressure is there, and this squad really at the moment isn't deep enough. That is definitely the focus number one to A, make sure they definitely get Champions League qualification, and B, to go for second. And that's about, as you say, dealing with these injuries and using the squad they've got until May, and then they can reassess. But it's tough times for Dortmund at the moment.
There's one star player who's returning to the Bundesliga after a fantastic period of a loan spell at Werder Bremen, back in now in a shirt of Wolfsburg. Kevin De Bruyne, are people glad to see him back in Germany in general, because he was such an entertaining player to watch in his time in the Bundesliga, and a massive pickup for Wolfsburg as well, is it not, Kip?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's another statement of intent from Wolfsburg as well. I mean, Martin Kind, the president of Hannover, has come out today and said that although Hannover have been ahead of Wolfsburg for the last 3 years, he can't see them overtaking them again in any time in the near future, because obviously, the Volkswagen company have decided to put another big injection of cash in. And in contrast to previous times where that's happened, sort of 5 years ago, when there was Magat, and Magat's transfer policies are obviously very questionable, and he spends a lot of money on a lot of sort of mediocre players, whereas now the investment seems to be more focalised, and they're getting players like De Bruyne in who give a psychological lift as well as their technical ability. So, De Bruyne particularly and Gustavo early in the season were definite statements from Wolfsburg that they want to be on the way up. And the narrative at the moment, I'm not sure I agree with it entirely, but the narrative is that, Wolfsburg are now going to overtake Dortmund, and they're going to be the second team in Germany. And then people get very carried away with these predictions. But it's not impossible because they do have this injection of cash, and now they're using it reasonably. And I think De Bruyne is a fantastic player. He showed that at Bremen, and people are excited to see him back. And he's a bit of a kind of difficult personality because he doesn't really get on with the media very much, and he's often seen as quite arrogant, but I think people do like him. I think people like the way he plays and the way he is, and certainly, yeah, it'll be very exciting to see him this weekend. He should be in the starting 11 for Wolfsburg. So.
Do you think he was maybe a little too rash to go back to Chelsea? There was the offer of him to go back out on loan at the beginning of this year, and he said that he wanted to play at Chelsea, and now it's resulted in him being moved on. Was that arrogance maybe that you mentioned just then kind of coming through, in that he wanted to go back to Chelsea and show that he was good enough, and for some reason, whether it was he didn't fit in with Mourinho or not, it just didn't work out?
Yeah, I think it was. I think he it's arrogance or confidence, however you want to put it. I think in that situation, he thought, I'm on the back of one of my most successful and prominent seasons at Bremen, and I'll go and try and prove myself at Chelsea. And he does come across as very frustrated that he wasn't even granted the chance to do that. And I think that's why as well, he definitely didn't want to go out on loan again, because I think, quite maturely, he's very wary of going out on loan to various clubs and then returning to Chelsea every other year, and then, sitting on the bench there for 6 months, and suddenly your career starts to stagnate. And I think he definitely made the decision this time to say, I want to move on, I want to go somewhere different. And Wolfsburg is a great environment for that, because, as I say, they're looking upwards, and he's going to be a sort of central figure there. So I think, it's partly to do with his arrogance, but also I think it's a very mature decision, the way he went back to try and prove himself, and then made the decision quickly when he realised he wasn't going to get that opportunity.
It's Chelsea's loss is the Bundesliga's gain, I think, for the second half of this season, and look forward to seeing De Bruyne back in flying form in Germany's top flight kit. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, mate. There's some cracking fixtures coming up this weekend, including Hamburg against Schalke, which I think there's a few of us that are really looking forward to, and of course Gladbach against Munich tonight. We hope you enjoy all the football that comes your way, mate, and look forward to catching up with you there again in the near future.
Thanks a lot, mate. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, Kit. Take care, man. Kit Holden there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things Bundesliga football, taking us through some of the fixtures there this weekend, including that big Bayern Munich, Mönchengladbach tie. No Schweinsteiger or Robin, and possibly no Ribery as well for the German Giants. Will it be their time to fall? Over 40 games, 8 games unbeaten, though, for Gladbach, and they are in third place at the moment in the Bundesliga table, 4 points off Bayer Leverkusen. It's going to be a very, very interesting spell indeed as well for Borussia Dortmund. They'll have those defenders returning, but with Lewandowski going, do they need to be looking at bringing in a striker? I wonder if one of the names that I want to mention with Rafa would be worth having a go for. We mentioned very early on in the show at the beginning.